In the sutras, Buddha said, all phenomena are mere name. Even the emptiness of all phenomena is just mere name. This implies that beyond mere name, nothing exists at all. Also, it is true that because living beings identify themselves mistakenly, they develop mistaken appearances as hallucinations, and because of this, they experience suffering and problems continually, life after life, without end, until they attain the supreme permanent inner peace of nirvana. So if we want our suffering to permanently cease, we need to identify ourself correctly. We should know that we are thinking I, day and night, even during sleep. Because of this, we perceive an I as ourself. So this is the self we normally see. This way of identifying ourself is wrong because the I we normally see does not exist. So we focused a lot in the teachings, gaining, at least receiving the teachings, how to meditate to realize this truth, that the I we normally see does not exist. Through this, we can understand how we are identifying ourselves mistakenly all the time. How kind of Buddha to appear for our purpose, explaining to us really what we're doing mistakenly. We're identifying ourselves mistakenly all the time because we believe the I we normally see is ourself. The I we normally see exists. Buddha says, and we have understood through the logical reasons that Buddha teaches us, that the self we normally see does not exist at all. So this section, this paragraph, is unsurpassed. It is an oral instruction. And Geshe-la has taught us that an oral instruction makes the unmanifest manifest. Or we can say something that's hidden become clear. So this, what he's about to teach us, is implied in our other books. But here, it's stated explicitly because it is an oral instruction and so precious because it says clearly. For example, suppose a practitioner called John, so you think your name, through perceiving his body or mind, which are his basis of imputation, spontaneously thinks, I am John. Because his basis of imputation, his body and mind, are contaminated by the inner poison of delusions, his recognition of himself as John will cause him to experience suffering continually. His recognition of himself as John, in dependence upon a contaminated body and contaminated mind, identifying, recognizing himself, I am John, means he will experience suffering continually. So what's the solution? So this helps us understand why self-generation practice is essential, why it becomes our main practice, part of our practice every day. We try to engage in remembering emptiness and recognizing ourself correctly through self-generation practice. If John does not wish to experience suffering, he needs to change his basis of imputation from his contaminated body and mind to an uncontaminated body and mind. So he needs to think I, in dependence upon uncontaminated aggregates. Aggregates that are inseparable from emptiness, that arise from within emptiness, completely pure aggregates. If John does not wish to experience suffering, he needs to change his basis of imputation from his contaminated body and mind to an uncontaminated body and mind, such as the body and mind of Haruka, Vajrayogini, or any other guru deity. So here in this example, we will impute our I in dependence upon the uncontaminated aggregates, the body and mind of Great Mother Prajnaparamita. This is not only for John. This is for everyone. Anyone who does not wish to experience suffering needs to change their basis of imputation. So this is what we do in self-generation practice. We're training to impute our I on pure aggregates, born from within the emptiness of all phenomena.